哎呀！Music.
Hey, how's it going out there? You are listening to Chansplaining, the Jackie Chan podcast. You probably stopped listening right now. Tell the Chan boys at home about our podcast.
So
what they're listening to.
So for those of you who don't know us, I'm Jordan, and we, the three of us, had an awesome podcast that is currently on hiatus. But from the beginning of our podcast, where we ranked objectively the best things in the world, it was clear to all three of us that Jackie Chan and his not wanting any trouble was at the top of our list. It in our first episode, it was number one, and then we lost the recording, and then it wasn't on the list anymore. But yeah. Jackie Chan was still near and dear to our hearts, and that is what brought us together again to try give podcasting another go.
He's a big enough deal. He's like the Hollywood Hulk Hogan of the NWO that was our old podcast, where all that we really needed was to talk about Jackie Chan, and the rest was all like a little bit of fluff to get us here. Also, Jordan, thanks for introducing Sonny and I, you piece of shit.
Well, I don't want to talk about you guys. I feel like you guys should introduce yourselves, right?
I'm Matt.
I'm Sonny.
And there we go. This is our podcast. It's Chansplaining. The basic premise is we're three young Turks.
Well, different thing.
And together we're going to talk about Jackie Chan, who to me is probably the last like true film star aside from maybe Tom Cruise.
Those are your two?
Probably,
well, who else is a movie star except for those two?
Denzel? The Rock?
Okay, so he's one of the four true movie stars. So the premise is going to be pretty simple. We're going to educate the Chan boys at home about Jackie Chan. I have purchased the audiobook and the mass market paperback edition of Jackie Chan's biography, I Am Chan.
Is it his autobiography?
It's his autobiography, who he has help reading from.
Oh, okay.
Like, it was ghostwritten, even though it's not ghostwritten because the person's name is there. It's right. Called I Am Jackie Chan, My Life in Action. And it's going to educate everybody at home to Chan. It's going to educate us because we're kind of...
We're Chan... Jackie Chan fans, but, like, just... incidentally from experiencing him, we don't really know that much about his life.
Yeah, we just think that he's pure joy on a screen, and it's going to be fun to talk very genuinely about this big star of silver screen, of East and West.
Yeah.
I gotta stop talking like this. But no, yeah, so aside from just going over some readings, we're gonna review every Jackie Chan movie from when he pretty much became Jackie Chan, because he wasn't always Jackie Chan. And then,
as I learned at the beginning of this movie that we're about to watch,
yeah, he was not always Jackie Chan. And then we're gonna go in order. Today we're gonna be reviewing Snake in Eagle's Shadow. Is that what it's called?
Snake in the Eagle's Shadow.
Snake in the Eagle's Shadow.
Yeah,
I think I think it's Snake in Eagle's Shadow.
Well,
Jordan,
we all
I'm
watched
looking at
the
Wikipedia
movie.
Page right now. That's super wrong.
In the movie, I'm pretty sure they say Snake and Eagle's Shadow.
They do say it at the end.
So why would it be different? Why would it have a different name?
Because the translation's different.
Okay.
I don't really know.
It doesn't matter.
Either way. So yeah, we're going to start from Snake in Eagle's Shadow all the way to... I assume when Jackie Chan dies in 50 years, and we're going to do all of his movies in order,
yeah.
Given a breakdown of what works so well. I think the criteria for how we review these movies should be how many doesn't want any troubles does Jackie Chan have?
Right, okay. Out of five?
Out of five. I give this five Jackie Chan doesn't want any troubles.
Wait, are we actually judging it on how little trouble he wants? Because he wants a lot of trouble in this movie.
I don't agree. I don't think he wants any trouble for the most part.
No, he wants trouble.
Let's save it for that part.
Yeah, okay.
I wanted to read an actual excerpt from the book, which also explains why Jackie Chan is like has his own podcast now. Because this sort of sums up, to me at least, his like amazing, amazing work ethic and why he deserves to be spotlighted. So if you guys don't mind, I'm going to read the first page and a half of his book. Do you mind?
I don't.
No, go ahead.
Shut up. I'm gonna read it. All right. This is why Jackie Chan has a podcast now and why you should respect him. I'm standing in the sky on the roof of a glass and steel office tower in Rotterdam, Holland. There are 21 floors of air between me and the concrete pavement below. I am about to do what I do best. I am about to jump! My stuntmen tell me that the fall is safe. Well, not safe, but maybe a little less deadly. Of course, they've only tried the jump from the 16th floor. And as I watched the test footage late last night, alone in our production offices, I realized that a 16-floor fall was too predictable. Too possible. After all, my producer has been bragging to reporters that this will be the world's most dangerous stunt. And who would I be if I didn't live up to my press? Not Jackie Chan. So against the advice of my director and my co-stars and the executives at the studio, I have decided to add 5 stories to the stunt. That's 60 more feet of very thin air through which my 45-year-old body will be sliding. A few more seconds of excitement for the cameras. A few more screams from an audience starving for adrenaline. The formula is simple. The more terrified my friends and family are, the more satisfied my fans will be! And they mean everything to me. They come to the theaters hungry for a hero, for someone who can laugh at disaster, who can make funny faces at death. Someone who can show them, for real, that the only thing to fear is fear itself. But whoever said that never stood on a roof in Rotterdam. He never looked down over the edge of a skyscraper to see a foam target 250 feet below. From here, the mattress looks like a postage stamp. When I hold out both hands in front of my face, I can just about cover it entirely. I am tired. My heart feels like a rock in my chest. My body screams at me about the abuse I put it through over the last 4 decades. Parts of me I can't even pronounce are complaining about how badly I've treated them. And despite the mob of extras milling around the base of the building, hundreds of Dutch Marines and firefighters and police looking nervously at the sky, I think to myself, is this jump really necessary? But the answer is there as soon as I ask the question. Yes, it is, Jackie Chan. Because this jump is special. And that's the first page and a half of his book.
Oh my god. What? Does he say what the sun is for? I miss that?
No, he doesn't. I never thought
someone could make Jackie Chan sound like the Unabomber, but...
He's fucking insane!
I like the idea that... He doesn't know who FDR is. He's just like, whoever said that quote.
He might have said it. You don't know. No, but yeah, I think it's for Rush Hour. It's like when he slides down that pyramid. If that is Rush Hour, I actually don't know.
Wait, no, because...
It could be.
Where he slides down a pyramid?
I'm not really sure. I'm not that far in the book yet, unfortunately. Okay. But yeah, he's a fucking madman. He's kind of like Mick Foley in a way. His book reads a lot like Have a Nice Day, where it's just like Mick Foley talking about how he sacrificed his life for his art and for his fans. But do you guys want to learn some like the lineage of Jackie Chan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys don't know any of this, right?
No, I don't know anything.
Okay. So like feel free to please interject, because otherwise I'm just going to be reading from three pages of Jackie Chan notes, and I don't want that.
Well, is this just, like, random Chinese people? Or, like, people who he's trained with?
What do you mean?
Like his family members' lineage?
Yeah,
I'm
going to be talking about pretty much from 1954 to, like, I think, like, 1960. He doesn't give specific dates, because the book is woefully unthorough. So, Jackie Chan was born on April 7th, 1954, the son of Charles Chan and Lily Chan.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Chan Kong Sun, which translates to, directly, Hong Kong Chan, because his father did not care about him at all and decided it would be simpler to name him that. So this is where Jackie Chan starts to become really interesting to me. His birth, literally at birth. His mom was in labor for 12 months.
Jeez.
What?
Yeah, he was in her for 12 months, and when he came out, he was 12 pounds.
Wait.
My God.
So she carried him for 9 months?
And then three extra months.
Oh, okay.
So he was enormous.
So she was in labor for 3 months.
Yeah.
Okay.
And because he was such an enormous pussy-destroying baby, he was nicknamed Pow Pow, which is Chinese for cannonball. And that's what his family calls him maybe not to this day. They're probably dead. But that's what they called him.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So here's a direct quote. Jackie Chan on being stuck in his mommy's pussy. While comfortably inside my mother, I had privacy, sleep, and all the food I could ever ask for without having to fight or work or suffer. In fact, I can honestly say those 3 extra months were the easiest time in my life.
Oh my
God. None of
that
waited for me in the world outside.
He did not say that.
Crazy.
That's direct insanity.
Quote. Direct quote from the book. So, you're going to learn pretty quickly why Jackie Chan wishes he were still inside of his mother to this day. Because pretty much right off the bat, he lived a pretty weird life. His family were poor. They weren't as poor as other people. They actually lived in the guest room of a mansion because his dad was a cook and handyman for the ambassador of France in Hong Kong.
Oh.
So he didn't have to like live in a shack like he said a lot of his relatives did. But he did have to share a one-room like apartment with his mom and dad, who shared the top bunk of a bunk bed. And he was on the bottom bunk. And that's where he was for years.
Man, they couldn't even give him the top bunk?
I think he was too young. He was, like, I think under 5 at this point.
Oh, that's
but
like a
still,
bad thing.
Yeah, he said that... So one of the things that are interesting about Jackie Chan, too, is that when he was born, the doctor who birthed him, who he describes as a lady doctor,
sure,
offered to buy him from his parents.
Man,
because he was so big and healthy.
That would have been a good ass investment.
It would have been a great investment.
It would have been like buying Manhattan for $26.
It would be for the price of the birth, which was $500,
mm-hmm,
and 1,500 Hong Kong bucks just to wet the whistle.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah, but the dad declined because Jackie Chan was their only son, and that was important.
Sure.
And the dad, very loyal to Jackie Chan, spent the rest of the next 6 years mercilessly abusing him.
Oh my God.
So every morning, his dad would shake him awake violently, and if that didn't work, he would pull him from the bed. Jackie said, when I was lucky, I'd get my feet under me before the rest of me hit the floor.
Oh my God.
When I wasn't, I guess it was lucky that I learned how to take a fall at such a young age.
Oh my God.
His father would then make him work out in a gym that he had built, lifting weights, stretching, and doing northern-style kung fu. But Chan did not like kung fu because he was a young, abused boy.
Sure.
But to his father, it was important. Chan says, to my father, learning kung fu was learning how to be a man. And frankly, I was a big disappointment. Lazy and impatient by nature, at first I practiced under his watchful eye, only for the fear that if I didn't, he would demonstrate his techniques on me, his useless son.
So his dad was a kung fu, like, fan? Or was he, like, did he teach?
It sounds like it was more that he just was using kung fu as a means of dedication and hard work and like and health. But his dad was just like, honestly, just like a poor dude who worked for the ambassador as a cook and a handyman, sort of like a Jeeves, if you will.
Yeah.
And Jackie Chan and Lili Chan, his mom. I'm also probably going to pronounce all these names wrong, unfortunately. I'm not going to try to do them right because it will only be worse.
I mean, I'll let you know if it's egregious.
Okay. Yeah. So eventually Jackie Chan, from getting beaten by his father from like roundhouse kicks and like KO Ken technique, eventually got really good at Kung Fu at a really young age. And he said he finally realized that his training was making him strong and tough and a fearsome opponent to any kid stupid enough to get in my way. I had brought my dad's worst nightmare to the light. I went from being a brat to being a brawler. So he would spend the next couple years just beating up neighborhood kids and eating. He talks a lot about eating. Anytime
Yeah, I guess. So he just, like, where did he get food?
They weren't, like, poor. He, like, lived in...
Right.
Especially his dad was a chef.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, his dad was the cook. Food. Yeah, but he fucking loves eating. And Jackie Chan, so I guess around the age of 6 at this point, he was beating the shit out of some older kids or something like that. And his dad saw him and was very disappointed. And he was just ashamed of Jackie for doing that.
Because he used Kung Fu incorrectly.
Yeah, he used Kung Fu for aggression instead of defense.
Yeah, which I guess kind of becomes a theme.
Yeah, that's Jackie like in the Chan movie. Jackie Chan needs to not want trouble. Because right, Jackie Chan exactly. was looking for trouble.
That's his origin story.
Yeah. So his dad decided to punish him by doing the one thing Jackie never, ever wanted, which was sending him to school. Which... Jackie said was for people who wore sissy clothes.
Oh my god.
Whatever that means.
That's a very specific translation thing.
Yeah.
I wonder what that means in Chinese. I don't really know.
I'm not culturally.
Sure. Do you think he wrote this book originally, like, speaking it in Chinese and having it translated?
Maybe.
Probably.
But the guy who translated it, I think, also was from Hong Kong. So I think he would probably know how to translate it into a more direct English.
So you think that it was spoken in... I don't know. Does Jackie speak Cantonese or Mandarin? Does anyone know?
I feel like he speaks both.
He speaks, like, 7 languages, actually.
Yeah. What does he sing in Mulan? Is it the Cantonese version or the Mandarin version?
I don't know what the Mulan version is, but he goes. Well, isn't it? You mean the Mulan when Chinese the Chinese release of it?
Yeah. Do you know that Jackie Chan?
Yeah. He does the voice for the, but he does like when he was a singer.
Okay.
He did vocals in Cantonese and Mandarin.
Oh, he did it in both, so it's not even an indicator one way or the other.
Well, he's from Hong Kong, so I would think that he would be speaking Cantonese. Like, isn't Cantonese more natural to Hong Kong, according to Google?
Yeah, so do you mean in his everyday life?
Like, he was born speaking Cantonese. I know Bruce Lee also from Hong Kong and San Francisco spoke Cantonese.
Right. I don't know. Probably.
I'm just curious.
More like Chantonese.
I'm just curious if the sissy thing was something that was translated, or he literally used the word like sissy boy clothes.
No, he like actually thought they were like sissies, like they were weak and flouncy.
Okay.
And right. I know sissy is like kind of derogatory and homophobic, and I think that's how he meant it.
Okay. 1999 was a very different year.
Yeah. I mean, well, to be fair, this
also,
was probably
Chinese
written in 98.
Culturally is very
different. Yeah, Sonny, I have learned a lot about late 50s Hong Kong that is disturbing.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So he went to Nun Hua Elementary School, which he described as minute by minute torture, save for lunch hour and gym.
Man,
he
was I didn't know this.
He was perpetually bored. He He would make faces at other students and thumb rhythms on his desk or pratfall out of his chair. So he's kind of like a class clown.
That's funny.
Yeah, he's like kind of found his niche early.
Yeah.
His teachers would then tell him he would never amount to anything, and he was told to repeat the first grade because he was so dumb. This could probably coincide with the fact that he was forced to wake up in the morning and take punches in the face by his dad for training.
Yeah.
Might have something to do with it.
I'm surprised this never came up. Like, I never realized this when I was younger, because I guess Jackie Chan was probably one of my first role models, just because he was an Asian face in Western culture. But, yeah. Like, if my parents knew that he was shitty at school or hated it, I don't know how they would have reacted.
Well, Sonny, it's okay, because he figured out how to fix his dad and he and his mom figured how his education would be fixed. He dropped out of school in first grade.
Wait, in first grade?
And never went back?
Never went back.
Oh my god.
That's amazing.
Yeah. He says he regrets not paying attention and dropping out of school because he feels the chance that he missed the chance to read the classics, practice advanced mathematics, or learn the great lessons of history.
Hmm.
He thinks he could have been the world's most famous doctor instead of the world's most famous patient, which I thought was funny.
That's good. That's good.
He's really cheeky in his book.
Yeah.
He's like not unfunny.
I mean, he's pretty cheeky in everywhere he does.
He's a cheekster.
Yeah, even in this movie we're about to talk about, he's like, yeah. There are some scenes where he's like, Jackie.
We're almost done with his very early origin story. Yeah. So now deemed a failure, unteachable, dim and lazy, and a pussy destroyer of his mother, he was taken to the China Drama Academy, because if you are too dumb to read, you should be an actor.
Sure.
To give you an idea of who Jackie Chan's dad is, his drinking buddies told him about this one night while they were getting drunk, and then he did it. He decided to take his son out of school and make him an actor. So his dad takes him to the China Drama Academy, and Chan loves it, like, immediately. There's all these other boys playing with, like, staffs and doing roundhouse kicks and learning backflips.
Oh,
and
so also, it's a China Martial Arts Academy.
Well, it's... Well, we'll see. I think it's more... A drama academy is not, like, what we think of as, like, an acting school.
Oh,
I think
okay.
It's more of a... Everything is taught here. Acrobatics, singing, dancing...
Interesting.
So it's like BOCES.
Torture, we'll learn. So, and also, the one good thing that Jackie saw was that it appeared that the boys could eat as much as they wanted, which
nice.
He liked.
Nice.
He didn't know he was going there for orientation. He just thought it was, like, a fun day.
A trip, yeah.
Yeah, so in the process of learning a backflip, this fat teenager named Yun Long beefed in front of Jackie and some girls, which made Jackie laugh. And this was bad, because Yun Long was, like, 7 years older than Jackie, and sort of, like, a big dick monster around the place. Like a classic bully.
Yeah.
And Jackie said he became an instant enemy of the giant fat teenager. Still, Chan called it the best day of his life, as he was allowed to eat as much as he wanted and got to roughhouse with children my age. So, little did Jackie know this place would be his forever home.
Oh my god.
So now this is when it really starts to get sad, and this is like, we're right at the end of this. A week later, Lili Chan woke Jackie up, also by violently shaking him. Not used to his mother's abusive touch, Chan asked where his dad was, and if everything was alright.
Oh my god.
So not getting beaten up in the morning was like, what's wrong with dad? Why aren't I getting a beating right now? She said he was cooking breakfast and needed extra rest. This freaked Jackie so much out that he started to cry, and then he noticed that there was a suitcase in the corner, and he realized that it was for him. So the story is that Jackie's dad got a job in Australia at the American embassy doing what he was doing for more money. So he was going to leave his family to provide, send Jackie to this drama school, and I guess Lili would just have to wait for the men in her life, because that's what was happening at that point. So Jackie, knowing that he wasn't going to see his dad anymore, made him very, very happy, because he meant, not that he wouldn't see his dad, but because he wouldn't have to go to school anymore, and he didn't have to do the morning workouts, which he didn't like. So he was taken to the school, back to the China Drama Academy, where his master, Master Lu, would take Jackie in free of charge and train him in the greatest art. The greatest art being the art of Chinese opera. But there was a catch, he told Jackie's dad. The school would get all the money Chan would receive if he got any work from his skills.
Oh my god.
So, yeah. So they would pretty much just invest in him, and if he got bookings, they would get it, and that's how they would do the school. His dad thought about this for a little while, then looked over to his son, who was literally playing with a sword he had found and swinging it wildly over his head. So he was rambunctious and violent. The dad continued to talk to, what's his name? Master Lu. And he said one thing in the contract that he was unsure of, which is that the school had the right to discipline Jackie to death if need be.
What?
What?
They could discipline him to death, and it was in the contract.
In the contract.
Is that how it works? Good. Is that how it worked at that point in time? You could, like, just write a contract where you could kill somebody?
You could kill a child.
Like, it's legal. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, it's part of the contract.
I wonder if that's ever happened, though.
Well, I haven't read past this. I feel like it's happened. Jackie's dad thought about it and then signed him up for 10 years at the school.
Yeah.
From that day on, Jackie was, quote unquote, the property of China Drama Academy and Master Yin Yun. After his parents left him, he and Yin Yun had a good conversation. He seemed to, like, actually enjoy talking to Jackie. And then told him that it was time to go to sleep, to which he led him to a room which had no beds, 30 boys, and moth-covered blankets.
Oh my god.
And Jackie was told to go to sleep. His bully, Yun Long, called him a pussy and said, "What, are you too much of a pussy? Do you need a bed?" Jackie then fell asleep on the cold floor with his head rested on his elbow, which is how he would sleep for his entire time at the school.
Wow.
Oh my god.
And this feels like an alternate universe Charles Dickens story.
And it is, and that's why he's so great, why his, like, perpetual cheerfulness is so amazing, because he was horribly abused his whole life.
That's wild.
You would think that he was just, like, I would think he would be sort of like Bruce Lee, where, like, Bruce Lee's parents were both opera singers. Because I feel like it's hard to become, like, essentially a poor boy, and then you become the biggest star in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's a little bit about Jackie. I think it's time for us to talk about the Chanthology, which is I think what we should call this.
Snake and Eagle Shadow?
Snake and Eagle Shadow. You guys talk. I've been talking too much. I want to know what your thoughts are.
So,
so the overarching plot of this is that so Jackie Chan is this orphan who's adopted by the Kung Fu school, and he's like
this dim orphan.
Yeah, he's like their janitor, and he's like abused as like a punching bag by their teachers. And the overarching thing of it is that there's these two. Well, there's a bunch of different like styles of Kung Fu, and the big ones are this snake style and
snake
eagle
fist
style. Yeah,
snake fist.
And eagle style, and all the, for some like weird reason, I don't know if this was actually the case, but all the eagle style people were just going around murdering the snake style people, right?
Yeah.
So one of the old masters of the snake style was in hiding, and he like finds Jackie in the train, and stuff happens.
I think the thing about it is, speaking on the murdering, it seems like there are a lot of lesser styles.
Mantis.
There's like Mantis, there's Dragon and Tiger style at the school that Jackie is like forced to work at. And those styles all seem to be like kind of easily dispatched when it comes to the Eagles style.
Jackie's the master who like beats the shit out of Jackie Chan, like that he works for, is like a bad martial artist.
Yeah, he's
like,
he's not good.
He's a fucking joker. He looked kind of like Jim Carrey to me. He had like a lot of like he had like a rubber spine, I thought, which was cool.
I
well,
I think the thing is that I think the thing is that like the eagle people, the eagle style people don't care about any of the lesser styles because mm-hmm. they're no match to them. They can like easily dispatch anybody who does any, even praying mantis, they can beat up and kill easily. But
they're in danger.
But it's the snake scut. Oh my god, that's bad. It's the snake fist that is almost a match for it, but not. Mm-hmm. It usually gets beaten. So they're trying to like beat the second competition so that they can be the reigning like style that just can beat everyone.
Yeah. They're like trying to sign. It's like the Warriors trying to sign LeBron James away from the Cavaliers.
Well, no, so it's like just the Warriors trying to kill LeBron James.
And then like, and then you have like Kyrie Irving comes and then he's easily dispatched. You have all these other big shots that just suck in comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is more like a murder.
But I actually thought, I mean, like, I don't know if this is usually the case, but the plotting of this was actually pretty interesting to me.
Oh, I agree. Talk about Sonny.
Just because of, like, I don't know how much Western styles of screenwriting permeated through Kung Fu movies, because they're definitely focused on different things, and they're mm-hmm. definitely shot a lot differently, but I haven't really thought too much about what actually happens in the grand scheme of things. I just thought there were a lot of points where I was like surprised that things were happening.
Yeah, there's some pretty big twists in there. Yeah. Like his fat cook friend.
Yeah, yeah.
Being a spy.
There were a lot of twists. The priest I did not see coming.
Yes, holy shit, priest. Can we just talk about the priest for a solid 7 hours?
Yes.
So there's one white guy in the movie who looks
exactly like Jesus.
He does look babe.
He looks like the Western interpretation of Jesus. Like, matched, yeah.
Blue eyes, long hair, beard. Also they dubbed him in Cantonese.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, so, like, I thought he was speaking it.
No, they I think dubbed it was over? Dubbed. Oh, yeah, they dubbed over notice. It. But he's just going around talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
There's a few highlights of him. One is that it becomes clear that he's like looking for this old master. I wrote his name down, but it's essentially like Jackie Chan's weird homeless crumb bum master who teaches him the snake fist style.
It's like PN
Pai Cheng Ting.
Pai Chai Ting.
Yeah.
Am I okay with that, Sonny?
I think it's Pai Cheng Tian.
Like Sonny said.
Yeah.
So he's tracking down Pi.
Yeah, we can call him Pi.
And they're tracking down Pi, and we're going down this, like, very narrow street.
Oh, yeah.
And Pi, like, knocks on a door frantically, being like, help a homeless person! Help me out! And I guess they let him in, right? Like, that's what happens?
Well, no. I think this is before that. Well, before... So, before what this happens...
You do
what the, like... What was really funny to me is this Christian missionary is just knocking on doors looking for Pi, and under the guise of like spreading Christianity or whatever.
Yeah.
And he accidentally knocks on this whorehouse, I guess?
Yeah.
Like a brothel. And the only signage is, so the one I watched, the translation was, come on in on the sign. And from that, he was like, oh, this is a brothel.
The version I watched didn't have any translations of
Me
the
either.
Signage.
Me
so too. Every time I watched, I was actually thinking the same. I was thinking like, wow, I'm really missing out on what these things are saying. But
and we should also mention that Snake and Eagle Shadow is a comedy. Like,
yes.
It is actually a comedy movie. It's one of the first kung fu comedies. So if it sounds weird at points, which it is, it's because they're trying to be funny. It's not like, it's not doing this seriously.
And I think a lot of the kung fu movies that come out, like, from this era are generally, well, I guess the ones that Jackie Chan has been in are generally kung fu. Like, I don't know any, like, super serious kung fu movies he's been in.
So I have a question regarding the priest. So mm-hmm. do you think that at this point in time the Chinese government was doing a similar thing with movies that the American government had done, in that it would like sponsor movies that had like propaganda pieces. Like,
oh,
like I think there has to be some symbolism to the eagle and the snake, and the fact that the snake, which in American culture is very much a symbol that is seen as
deception yeah.
And bad, but it's the good one in this one, and eagles are seen as noble and like
I honestly don't at all.
I don't think it's that deep. I think there is some level of round-eyed devil.
Oh yeah, they call that was my favorite part in the movie. The priest knocks on the woman's door and is like, "Would you like to find Jesus?" And she says, "Get out of here, you round-eyed devil," and then slams it in his face. Yeah, also Jordan, this is Hong Kong. It's not like China, it's not communist.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I just think that there has to be some symbolism behind the choices of snake versus eagle versus
I honestly don't think it is, because I've seen movies like this before, like other like grindhouse kung fu movies. There's lots of movies that are about like blah 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 style versus blah 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 style. It might be like chips monkey style versus dog style.
Right, these are real styles.
Yeah. Do you think there's any do you think there's any truth to how the styles interact with each other, or do you think that's just movie nonsense?
I don't know. Because a lot of it is just like there's just a lot of it is for show.
Yeah.
And the movies are just like choreographed so that they make sense.
Okay.
Like, I don't think anyone actually fighting like this would.
No. One thing that I read about years ago in the Bruce Lee biography is when he met Jackie Chan, he had to fire Jackie Chan the first time because he was fighting too fast.
Mm.
Like, he didn't know how to do stunt coordination yet at a point that was good for camera. So he would just pretty much be doing real kung fu. And Bruce Lee was like, "No, this isn't what people want. You have to like learn how to do it fake."
Wait, so there are movies that have both Jackie Chan and Bruce Lee in them?
I think there's one.
Fist of Fury or Game of Death.
Wait, Jackie Chan is in Game of Death?
He's a
cameo.
Henchman.
Yeah,
he's a henchman.
Oh, I've never seen Game
it's
of
like,
Death.
It's a cameo before he was famous.
Yeah. So Game of Death is the yellow jumpsuit one, right?
With Kareem.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
I can't believe that movie ends with an arm bar. Like, he literally puts him in a submission hold. And that's a big part of that movie. We also haven't mentioned Jackie Chan's name in this. Like,
yeah.
What his old name was.
I was very surprised. I was like looking at the very beginning of the movie and it was like, it doesn't say Jackie Chan. Like, is
his
it gonna
name,
what is his
name?
Sonny,
help me out here. It's Lung Chang.
Oh, I didn't notice this in the credits.
They gave him a stage name, which is Lung Chang, which was, I think, supposed to be it means like birth of dragon. Because they wanted him to be the next Bruce Lee. So they changed his name to literally do that. But he wasn't a good dramatic actor. So they were like, fuck this. Let's make him Jackie Chan. Instead of Pow Pow or Hong Kong Chan.
Yeah.
did he choose the
name Jackie?
It was a nickname that was given to him by someone.
Okay.
I haven't gotten there in the book yet.
Okay.
But
we'll get
they
that.
Did it. Let's talk fighting, guys. We were talking about the martial arts a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really cool. Like,
yeah, I think so,
I
too.
Really enjoyed it.
Like, you can definitely tell, like, they shoot fighting scenes so much differently than they do in the U.S. And I think it's, like, more exaggerated, but it also looks better.
I agree.
About how they filmed it, did you notice in Jackie Chan's, in his first training montage where he's learning from the steps that the old man put on the floor, that they do like a point of view shot. They do like a hardcore
really cool.
Henry like thing. Like I have never seen that in an American movie before.
No.
Yeah.
It's so weird. It was so because it's something that is like now a contemporary used thing. It's something
mm-hmm.
that you see in American movie. I was very surprised that they used
one of,
that.
one of the things that I loved about it is that it follows, like, one of the action principles that really good movies have, and for them to do it 40 years ago is incredible. But they do action and reaction in the same shot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like when you have a lot of U.S. films that do action to protect their stars, they'll do like, okay, we're going to get you punching, and then we're going to get the guy taking the punch.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell because it's cut a certain way.
Right, yeah.
And this, because they're experts, or like at least they know what they're doing, you can have 6 or 7 moves.
Right.
All done, and it's like it has a real fluidity to it,
and it's filmed in like wide shot, so you can see everything that's going on.
Yeah. It was really cool. Like, the styles, like, I'd be lying if I could tell them apart at all, aside from when the sound cues told me that.
you mean that cat purr?
That...
Oh, yeah. Well, the sound is like a completely different thing to talk about in this movie, because I think it's pretty crazy. But we'll get there. One thing that I like couldn't get out of my head was Chinese Adam Driver.
Oh my god! I was thinking the same thing!
Fuck yeah!
I wrote it down! Chinese Adam Driver.
Yeah.
Very weird.
I thought I was gonna be the only one who was saying that.
I totally agree. There's a dude who looks just like Adam Driver. It's like if they took Adam Driver's character in the Martin Scorsese Christian movie. And then Chinesed him up a little bit.
Because he's like very like skinny but like ripped.
Yeah, he's oh, what's the word I would use? He's like wiry.
Yeah.
Man,
he's very lanky and very.
But yeah. his first scene was pretty interesting. I wonder if like the whole trope of like breaking bricks with their hands being super impressive, if that like came from this or something earlier, or if it's
it has to be earlier because they specifically are talking about like the breaking bricks thing is like a joke in this movie. It's made to be like, oh, that's just a lame thing that people show to like
try and
pretend like you're real martial artists.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This movie uses the very classic comedy device of rich fat kid to show what is good.
It's a very good rich fat kid.
He's just eating powdered donuts all the time.
Son of the magistrate.
Yeah, which is like the cop, right? Like the head cop?
No, it's like you're like a
lawyer?
Head. No, magistrate is like a politician,
sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I thought it was like a patrolman.
No, you're like you're like the magistrate of a town or a village. You're
a civil officer or lay judge.
Yeah.
Cool. My mistake. Sorry, guys. But he's being brought from school to school trying to pick like a martial arts discipline for his son.
Yeah.
And the son is just this bumbling monster who is just ugly and dumb and just wants to see bricks get broken. He's just got a real hard dick to see people break through bricks. And then should we actually get back to like the plot of like, cause Jackie ends up fighting him in which is a pretty awesome scene because it's like you said, Sonny, it's like kind of a good Western script style building up of these two forces.
Yeah.
So like the movie essentially begins after what's his name? Pai.
Yeah.
Pai is, being hunted by his landlord, it appears, because he hasn't paid his rent, which is why we get that action scene, because they say he owes them a month rent, and Pai then begins to beat the shit out of them, and he rips a guy's teeth out with his foot, which was gruesome to me. Like, not like kicked them out, he had his foot in his mouth,
he like
pulled.
There was instantly no blood, though. It's not like, it was very comedic. It was just like,
teeth are
out,
sure.
Then the guy is just like, he's missing the teeth.
Yeah.
They landed in his bowl because he was eating food.
A lot of good bowl tricks in this.
Yeah, so much bowl stuff. Pai ends up going to, is it Tiger School? What's Jackie Chan's school at first?
I don't know if they specified what the style was of that school.
I don't know.
No, that school, that is Dragon and Tiger. Those are the two.
Okay, cool.
Those are the two arts
that. So, Dragon was Jackie Chan's school, and then Tiger was Adam Driver's school?
No. Praying Mantis is Adam Driver's school. Because remember that, okay. that yeah, like, yeah, yeah. he has that
he,
fight.
He comes, right.
He has that fight with that guy, and the guy is just like, well, this is praying man. Or he asks him what style that is.
Yeah.
And then he is a fool and tells his style.
He drops it.
Yeah. Either way, Pai comes, like, meets Jackie, and sort of subconsciously starts teaching him kung fu, because Jackie's job at his school is to just clean what I guess is opium powder off of the floor. and also just take beatings for prospective students.
Right.
They'll just have the trainees beat up Jackie Chan, because I guess he's big. He's like a big guy.
Right, to show how good their karate is.
Yeah.
I think that white powder is that stuff that you put when you do the uneven bars.
I think it's opium.
But they don't have any uneven bars there, Jordan.
No, it's like
what
stuff
do they have
you,
the grip?
It's stuff you put on your hand so that you can, like, fight. Like,
okay.
you, like, put... No? Am I the only one who thinks that?
I don't know what it
I
is.
I mean, on the other hand, it would be a gratuitous waste of opium.
Yeah, but that's why I thought that... Because, I don't know. But when we meet that guy who is, like, Jackie's master, he's smoking what I assumed was opium from a pipe.
Oh, yeah. He was just, like, outside.
He's outside chilling, true, smoking. I mean, maybe it's tobacco, being racist.
It would explain why he's, like, a horrible guy.
Because he's a drug addict.
Opium does some crazy stuff to you.
Opium's a hell of a drug.
Yeah,
we all know
exactly.
it well.
Yeah.
So he teaches Jackie his kung fu, and... Like, through a series of montages, Jackie eventually, after taking beatings, is told to fight this big fat kid when the fat kid comes. And then Jackie beats him up via no offense.
Right. So, yeah, so the magistrate comes back and wants to see the progress of the fat kid. And so they make him fight Jackie because he's their punching bag. But then at this point, he's had several training montages, so you know...
Did you guys like the montages? I thought the one was too long. The main one was like 7 minutes long.
You mean the one where he like was being forced onto like spikes?
Yeah,
that
grabbing
one?
Eggs.
Yeah, that I don't know. I didn't really like that montage.
Yeah, I like the one where with the ring.
That was cool.
He did the ring work. Yeah, I like that one.
And also the bowl. Oh yeah, the bowl scene is really cool.
Yeah, the bowl scene is cool.
Pretty much. Yeah. Pai is just like, Jackie Chan just took a huge beating, and to cheer him up says, try and steal this bowl from me.
Yeah.
And then proceeds to just move it in a certain way, and Jackie's trying to get it.
Yeah.
But in doing so is putting footprints on the ground, which teach Jackie, I guess, the beginning stages.
Yeah. This is how you walk to keep bowls away from me.
Yeah. What I put down is, this is a game I would play with my dog with a dirty sock. Which Tony would love. Just keep away.
Then he gets the ball and breaks it immediately. Which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Did anyone else notice that there was, like, something that they alluded to at the beginning that never panned out? When they were talking, when the first two guys were fighting, the eagle fist guy and the, or the snake fist guy and the eagle guy.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, there's only two people who know this style now. It's the old guy and it's your son.
I bet
and
it's Jackie Chan.
But it never pans out. They never meet the son.
There's a sequel. Maybe it's in the sequel.
I just think that it's a weird thing to state at the beginning and then just it never
happened. They don't follow, like they don't know what a Chekhov's son is.
Yeah. Fuck you! I'm so angry! Yeah, the movie really does begin pretty awesomely with just two kung fu masters running at each other, one go and just exposition and then fight.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You've almost killed every member of the Snake Fist style. There's only 3,000 of us left. And he goes, well, I'm going to kill you. And he's like, doesn't matter. There's Pai and there's my son. And as long as that exists, we're good. And then they fight and he gets kicked to death.
Yeah. He just like straight up dies from kicking.
Guys, what's your favorite death in this movie?
Oh.
I don't know. None of them really stood out to me.
What?
I guess killing Su Chen was pretty...
That was cool. Where he's hanging with the thing.
Yeah.
I like the other. I like when the traitor guy, the cook guy, died.
Oh yeah.
I think that he just was like, he thought that he got them. They pretended that they were poisoned.
Yeah, that was good.
I thought that was definitely my favorite death. He's like,
I like the priest's death because it literally happens because Jackie Chan kicks him in the cock. Like he Jackie Chan ends up learning a style that is like the cat style combined with the snake style.
Yeah, because he realizes that the snake style is at a disadvantage versus the eagle style.
Because he saw his cat that he actually has eat a little snake. Right?
Yeah.
That's what happened?
Yeah.
And Jackie Chan being very dim, but like, apparently, like, I guess he is like a kung fu savant. It's plausible.
Yeah.
Realizes it, and now he's the strongest because he's combined two styles. Mm-hmm. But he fights the priest who's got like a sword, and he ends up just like clawing out the priest's eye. Not like clawing, but he like punches him in the eyes, and then he kicks him in the dick and he dies. Or he punches him in the dick and he dies. I wrote that he slams his cock to death. That's my note.
It's a commentary on Western masculinity.
Yeah, definitely.
Also, the cross with the... Also, there's a scene where the priest has a cross and he takes a knife out from the cross.
Which it's like a switchblade cross. Or like a...
Which is one of the more blasphemous things I've seen, but I don't give a shit.
I thought that the priest... Also, do we ever see the guy... We don't ever see the guy who Pi was looking for at that room, correct? Where the thing about finding someone in the clouds, that did never pan out, right?
I don't think so. I almost don't know what you're talking about.
With like, the poster?
Yeah, the poster, and you'll find the man in the cloud. In the clouds? I don't remember that ever panning out into anything.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I kind of forgot about it.
That was like a plot line that like they were like, I guess we don't have that. Also, who was the guy in the mask? Was it the cook?
Probably.
Remember when they all meet at that room? They like fly in from the ceiling, the two eagle guys, to meet up with the priest and the other guy, and there's just a guy in a mask. He's one of the four of them.
I don't know. I'm really not sure. The cook doesn't seem like he knows any kung fu.
Yeah, he seems like he's just like part of the group, but he's not a kung fu master.
He's a
like a spy. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like why would he be wearing that weird mask?
Jordan, there's something I think we need to talk about that we touched on earlier, either on the podcast or when we were test rolling. Do you think Jackie Chan wants trouble in this movie?
Oh, he wants trouble. He's not working. He's like tapping his toe, doing the like fighting along with them at the beginning. He at the end of the movie when he's in that fight, his master specifically tells him, "Don't say anything. Don't tell anybody about your style. Don't use it unless you have to." And he specifically goes out and does it.
It's because he's dumb.
Yeah, I think this is gonna be. He just stumbles into trouble.
Yeah, but he's dumb and he's like arrogant and he's just kind of he's
arrogant?
not arrogant, but he just kind of like doesn't listen and he's dumb and he's young and he doesn't know the right way to do things.
Yeah.
Whereas in other movies when he's older and he's like an experienced martial artist, he doesn't want trouble as much. I think that because he's young and dumb and full of wanting trouble, I think I'll give him a one.
Okay. I think if he truly didn't want any trouble, he wouldn't have learned kung fu from Pi.
But we've learned that kung fu isn't necessarily an art of aggression. It's like a dedication thing.
Right. But I think him in this movie, to some extent, he learned it because he was tired of getting beat up by it.
So he wants trouble.
Also,
he wants trouble.
Fine, I'll give him a three. I can go as far down as a three because he didn't go seeking out this master. He was almost taught kung fu by accident because he saw dust on the floor.
Yeah. Also, that scene is where he's cleaning up the master like steps in the powder and tries to like mess up his cleaning job.
Yeah,
I thought that was probably awesome.
Yeah, one of my favorite scenes in the movie.
That was definitely cool. That was my favorite scene. I thought it was awesome that he was able to. Actually my favorite scene. The scene that genuinely made me like laugh at how fun it was the first scene with Jackie and the master, where Jackie like was being used as a tool.
Oh, that was really good.
That scene was my favorite scene in the entire movie.
That was probably my favorite fight scene too. It was really funny.
I thought it was just like hilarious. Like he dropped his pants and he like ducked down to do it, and I thought that scene was very comedic and very awesome.
He was like a puppet, pretty much, like a martial arts puppet. Oh man. Okay, guys, let's get to how much trouble out of five Jackie isn't looking for.
I thought he want so five means he didn't want any trouble, right?
We're just using that as good or the we're just using as our star rating.
Oh, okay. So it's completely separate than from the conversation about talking.
It's
if
confusing.
He wanted trouble.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we messed up the system.
I was asking if he actually wanted trouble, but wanting trouble is also our grading method.
Yeah.
Okay. So the audience will be confused every episode. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I would give this movie like definitely a four out of five troubles. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really funny, really good. The story was great. For such an old movie, the cinematography and everything, it all looked really, really good. And it translated well to being on YouTube. Some movies like that are this old, they just kind of look like crap when you see the details of them.
You don't get to give the movie a thing because it is... looks good on YouTube.
Good on YouTube.
No, but my point is that, like, a lot of movies and shows, because they didn't have to worry about the details, they didn't care about the details.
Oh, yeah. It's, like, shot well. It's 35mm.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. And I thought it was shot well the whole time. And I think it's great.
Yeah. And that's also a PSA if you guys want to watch it out there.
For free on YouTube. There's also the dub out there if you don't like reading, like Jordan.
Oh, no, I watched it dubbed. I mean, I watched it with the subtitles.
No, I was just teasing you because you don't read books. I guess I would give it... You gave it four, Jordan?
Yeah, I would give it four.
I'd probably give it like 3.75 Jackie Chan doesn't want any trouble.
Finish the review. I would probably give it a 3.5.
Yeah. Wait, why don't we have it at a 10?
Because 5 stars.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was funny and good. It is sort of nonsensical. And I know that there's movies coming up that will actually be like a 5.
Right.
I don't want any troubles.
That's my main reason for my rating.
I know what's coming up.
I didn't realize I could give it partial, like decimals.
Yeah, you can bridge your score.
Oh, okay. I gave it a 4 because I liked it, but I would probably give it closer to like a 3.4, 3.6. Somewhere in that range.
You want to just say then 3.5?
Yeah, what you want to?
I'm going to give it a 3.3.
Okay.
You just lower? Okay. That's very low.
Interesting.
Okay, well, still then, it's a 3.5 as the average score. It like doesn't really change anything. This was a movie that I am glad I saw. Didn't think it was the best. You can tell that there are a lot of cool things that will be built upon in later movies. Like Jackie Chan will become, there's not really stunt work in this, which is I think a lot about him is doing barrel rolls through,
right,
I don't know, a butcher shop or beating up bad guys while he's trying to, I don't know.
On fire!
Or he's like moving a big pane of glass across the street and he has to fight a villain.
So some extra stuff from... Well, so I'm reading the Wikipedia page on this movie and apparently in the book, at some point, they talk about the movie. And
oh, sweet.
It says he lost a tooth when he got kicked in the face during one of the fight scenes. And his arm was also accidentally slashed by a real sword that was supposed to be blunt.
Oh my god.
The so fucking I guess in, priest.
The Russian.
Yeah, the priest.
The Russian.
Yeah. And so while he was screaming in pain, the camera kept rolling. So I think the actual take might be in the movie. I don't remember.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, he gets hurt all the time. He is very often injured.
Sonny, I have a question for you that came up when I was watching the movie. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're speaking Mandarin or Cantonese in this movie. I don't know if you watched the dub or anything like that.
The movie's in Cantonese.
The movie's in Cantonese?
Yeah.
So, how do you say dad in Cantonese?
I'm not sure.
Okay, because there's a part in the movie with the magistrate and the son, where the magistrate comes to see him, how he's progressed, and he calls him what sounds like exactly how you say dad in Hebrew, which is Abba.
I think it's just Abba.
Abba?
Yeah. No, it's just Ba.
Oh, Ba, okay.
Yeah.
Well, in Hebrew, dad is Abba. So it's just interesting that languages that have nothing to do with each other have a very similar sound for father.
This is going to be the second half of the podcast where Jordan talks about phonetic similarities for the next hour.
mom is just ma. So, like, there are certain...
I guess that's true.
Okay, guys, that was cool. I really enjoyed that. The next movie we're going to be reviewing is like an actual great movie, which is Drunken Master.
Yeah, I'm
which
really
is fucking awesome. Jordan, have you watched it?
No, I haven't. I've never seen it.
Oh, you've never seen it?
No, nice. I remember when it was released when we were kids, and it didn't look like it was filmed in the 70s. It looked much newer.
It was just restored, I think.
Well, I'm excited. I never got around to seeing it. It always reminded me of one of the guys in Tekken.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I'm sure a lot of, I don't know if there is a Drunken Master person in Tekken.
Yeah.
I think it's specifically there was a character in Tekken based on
Bruce Lee.
In his character in the Police Story movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And those are fucking awesome, too. That's the other thing. Yeah. Jackie Chan has a lot of really great classic movies that deserve to be talked about.
Yeah. Tekken has a lot of characters that are... There's a Bruce Lee character. There's the Drunken Master
character.
There's
a wrestling jaguar.
Yeah, we've all seen that Jackie Chan movie.
There's Heihachi. Guys, let's play a game before we say goodbye to the Chan boys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what should we call them? I was thinking Chan boys or Chan Ma and Chan Paws.
I don't like that one.
I don't like. I don't like
that
the second one.
Lot.
You don't like Chan Paws?
No.
Okay. Well,
what about Chan Pansies? Chan Chan Z's?
No, that sounds racist.
That sounds racist.
Yeah, that sounds worse.
Okay, so we're going to play a game called You Don't Know Jackie, which is a game that I'm going to ask Sonny and Jordan a question. Whoever is closer is going to get a point. At the end of this podcast, whoever has more points gets their dick sucked by the other guy.
Wait. At the end of the podcast, like right before we kill ourselves?
Yeah.
No, when Jackie Chan dies.
Or when Jackie Chan does, yeah.
Or when he comes on the podcast.
Yeah.
If Jackie Chan comes on the podcast, he gets to see who, one person sucking off the other person.
That's what.
No, there's no way Jackie Chan is coming to one of our houses. He's gonna be.
No,
Skyped
we'll go
in.
There.
No,
we'll
we go to him.
Yeah.
You think Jackie Chan would come to us? He would send us 3 tickets. He would give us 1 hotel room to share.
He would give us 1 mansion each.
We each live in 1 uninhabited mansion. Here's the question, guys, for You Don't Know Jackie. And I'm not going to give a lot of time because we got a boogie. How many movies since this movie has Jackie Chan been in where he plays a character with the name either Jackie or Chan in it?
I think all the Rush Hours, right?
I can't say.
I mean...
I'm
this The Price is Right style?
Whoever gives the answer first in is closest. If
I'm gonna
it's
give,
a tie.
I'm going to give 25.
I'm going to give 15.
Sonny, the answer is 15!
Oh,
my God!
15
times, including one time playing a guy named Jackie Chan.
Oh, really? Just
been, it was called Searching for Jackie Chan, and he plays himself.
So like,
I wouldn't know
movie,
about that movie.
I don't think that really counts. That seems
I mean,
weird.
I would win either way.
Either
no,
way.
I'm not talking about the validity of
right,
Sonny's
yeah.
win. I'm just saying that sounds like a movie where he just like is himself.
Maybe. It's like the Van Damme movie. Like the Jean-Claude Van Damme. I'm
sorry,
yeah. Van Damme.
It just sounds like he's the cameo in it. It sounds like it's a Star Boys or Fanboys? What was the name of that movie? Where they got to meet George Lucas.
That's Fanboys.
Yeah.
It sounds like...
It's actually the exact scene from Borat where they meet him in the parking lot and they put him in a little bag.
Searching for Jackie Chan.
Searching for Jackie Chan. Okay, guys.
Chanela Anderson. No, I don't like
Pamela Chanderson, you idiot!
Oh my God.
Okay, you've been listening to the first edition of Chansplaining. You can follow us on Twitter at Chansplaining Podcast, which I assume will be up, and also on Facebook at, I guess, also Chansplaining Podcast.
When are we going to do Jackie Chan Adventures?
That's a great question. Right now! Alright, bye everybody.
Bye.
Music.
Hey, just wanted to thank you for listening to our really bad podcast, Chansplaining. Please rate and review us on iTunes. If you give us 5 stars, we can meet Jackie Chan and then go to Hong Kong and interview him someday. Next week, we're going to be watching Drunken Master, which is one of Jackie Chan's best movies, and it's awesome. You can find it on Amazon or in like 10 parts on YouTube. Please follow us on Twitter at Chansplaining Podcast and on Facebook at probably the same thing. We appreciate you listening, and keep it sleazy, Chan Maz and Chan Paz.